Hello and welcome to Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Ancient Chinese cliff paintings are facing severe damage. Stone Age tools are dug up in India, and the controversial Seahenge is to return home at last. The Iron Age is brought back to life at a new site in England, and a Neolithic site is unearthed in Serbia. Iron Age skeletons are found at the Olympic site in London, and the first European is now dated at 1.2 million years old. A Canadian discusses development conflict on ancient British Columbian sites, while the Siberian and Native American languages are scientifically linked for the first time. Finally, the earliest signs of corn, a staple food, is found in South America. Cliff paintings in northern China that date back to prehistoric times face severe damage from natural erosion and human destruction, according to a Chinese archaeological expert. About 80% of ancient cliff or rock paintings in Inner Mongolia, Xinjiang and Xingche have sustained damage through the forces of erosion and human activity, combined with a lack of protection. Cracks, falling pieces and collapses have made the previously clear pictures difficult to identify, and some have even completely disappeared. The northwestern region boasts a rich heritage of such paintings, with the most famous site at the Helan Mountains. The eastern part of the Helan Mountains has over 2,318 cliff paintings in an area of around 7 square kilometres. So, now that they know about it, let's hope they're going to do something about this. Archaeologists in eastern Indian state of West Bengal have discovered small weapons made of stone which are around 15,000 to 20,000 years old. About 200 small stone tools, knives and needle-like microliths, amongst others, were found during excavations at Murshidabad district near Bangladesh. Archaeologists say the find is significant as it suggests man's presence in the area dates back much earlier than previously believed. Another reason why the find is so significant, the archaeologists say, is because Stone Age tools are not normally found in the ancient soil layers of the Gangetic alluvial plain. The discovery was made by chance as the archaeologists were digging the site for evidence of the Sultanate period. They did, in fact, find ancient artefacts relating to the Sultan Hussein Shawich, which they were looking for, but the archaeologists kept on digging and found Stone Age tools. Remember, keep digging until you hit the bottom. You just never know what you'll find. The famous timber circle dating back 4,000 years, which was found in a sea off Norfolk coast in England, is to return to the county in permanent display. Seahenge, with 55 oak posts and a central upturned stump dating from the Bronze Age, was found emerging from the beach at home next to the sea in 1998. Timbers were studied at the Bronze Age Centre in Peterborough, then preserved at the Mary Rose Trust in Portsmouth. Next month, Seahenge will go back on display at the Lynn Museum in King's Lynn. After Seahenge was excavated, 3D laser scanning revealed the earliest metal tool marks and wood ever discovered in Britain. Archaeologists at the Bronze Age Centre believe that between 50 and 80 people may have helped to build the circle, possibly to mark the death of an important individual. Seahenge became exposed at low tide after the peat dune covering it was swept away by a winter storm. Funding from the Heritage Lottery Fund and Norfolk County Council has been provided for the Seahenge Gallery project at the Lynn Museum, which will house the timber, displayed in its original formation. The central stump, which is still being treated, will join the gallery at a later date. The main display at the museum is mirrored by a full-size fiberglass replica showing how the structure would have appeared when it was constructed in 2049 BCE, complete with a model of a Bronze Age man. Visitors can then enter and explore the area. The museum opens on Tuesday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m, and admission is £3 for adults, £2 for concessions, and £1.65 for 4 to 16-year-olds. A replica of an Iron Age roundhouse created after an extensive research on prehistoric sites at West Heslerton and Pickering has been built at Rydale Folk Museum, Hutton Lahole, in North Yorkshire. It's expected to attract thousands of tourists this summer. The venture has seen teams of youths on the community payback scheme, five local schools, and scores of volunteers working on the project. Bex Carver, the museum's learning manager, said that this has been a real community project. In addition to fitting out the roundhouse, as it would have been in the Iron Age, the venture has also got its own livestock. In the next few weeks, a small flock of soy sheep from the Orkneys will soon be lambing. The project has also given help under the Every Child Matters campaign, and local teachers are being encouraged to use the roundhouse to provide pupils with a hands-on history lesson through placement sessions which can be arranged. Artifacts from the Neolithic have been found at a site where digging has begun for a new petrol station near Niš in Serbia. The Archaeological Bureau for the Protection of Monuments has found prehistoric remains dating back to between 5000 to 2000 BCE. Remains from the Middle Neolithic Age and a dugout canoe containing ceramic and animal bones have been uncovered. According to the initial analysis, the dugout canoe dates back to between the Bronze and Iron Ages, from the end of the second millennium. The latest discovery once again confirms that the archaeological location at Medijan has greater significance than it has been usually credited with. Archaeologists uncovered four skeletons in Iron Age graves on the site of the London 2012 Olympic Park. The graves were in an area of a buried settlement on the site of the Aquatic Centre. The remains were removed for further study, and one, estimated at 3,000 years old, was exhibited by the Olympic Delivery Authority. Museum of London archaeologists have carried out extensive investigations at the site in Stratford, East London, which will house the permanent venues for the Games. Other finds included Iron Age cooking pots. The Olympic Delivery Authority is confident that no artefacts will be found that are important enough to require preservation in situ and so hold up the construction work, although investigations are continuing on other parts of the 2.5 square kilometre site. More than 140 trenches have been dug and investigated as part of archaeological works on the site. The Olympic site is covered mainly by industrial development, but 3,000 years ago was an open river valley. Well, I'll just hold my tongue about what I think about the money being spent there. Anyway, an analysis of an ancient jaw containing teeth has confirmed that humans reached Western Europe well over a million years ago, far earlier than previously thought. The prehistoric fossil was excavated last June at the Atapuerca in northern Spain, along with the previously reported tooth and stone tools used for butchering meat. The discovery comprises part of a human's lower jawbone. The remains of seven teeth were found still in place, and an isolated tooth belonging to the same individual was also unearthed nearby. Its small size suggested it could have belonged to a female. At the time, scientists announced that they had dated the separate tooth to 1.2 million years ago, but that more research was needed before the find could be reported in a scientific journal. The new study of the jaw confirms that the first Europeans arrived well over a million years ago. The archaeological team reports in the latest issue on the journal Nature. The jaw's owner has been labelled as Homo antecessor, a species first named in 1997, based on other human fossils found at the Atapuerca cave. The sex isn't known, but the new human was likely aged between 30 and 40 at the time of death. The lower jawbone was discovered inside an 18-metre-long cave known as Cima de Elefante. The complex of fossils allowed scientists to use a variety of methods to confirm the age of the fossils, including magnetic analysis, radioactive dating and geologic studies of the clustered bones and artefacts, a necessity because the dating of human fossils remains still a controversial area of research. The research opens an interesting new chapter in the story of European colonisation. The earliest known human fossils found outside of Africa are from Dimanche in the modern-day Republic of Georgia. The Georgian hominins lived some 1.7 million years ago and represent a very early expansion of humans outside Africa. The researchers therefore suggest that Western Europe was settled by a population of hominins coming from the east. Fred Spoor, Professor of Evolutionary Anatomy at University College London, said that the new fossil, assuming its date is accurate, marks undoubtedly a very important and exciting find. While stone tools had suggested a human presence in Spain around a million years ago, convincing fossil evidence had previously been lacking. Well, as I've said before, keep looking and you never know what you're going to find. Without a radical shift in thinking about First Nations archaeology, British Columbia and Canada is in danger of losing what is left of its ancient heritage and sparking heated conflict with natives, according to PhD candidate Michael Klassen. Klassen claims that virtually all of the First Nations' 9,000-year-old footprint in southwestern British Columbia has been eradicated by development. Most of it has been destroyed lot by lot because each property taken alone does not register as scientifically significant. But when you look at it cumulatively, it is nearly all being wiped out. Tens of thousands of archaeological sites in Metro Vancouver, Greater Victoria and the Gulf Islands have already been destroyed by our urban growth and waterfront developments. An industry of archaeological consulting has grown up in British Columbia, mainly focused on examining sites in the process of being destroyed by backhoes. But only in the past 2 years has the provincial government begun to negotiate management agreements with First Nations that allow them some control over development on significant heritage sites. Klassen, a McMaster University PhD candidate, Rudy Reimer, are presenting a workshop to the Society for American Archaeology in Vancouver this week, detailing emerging trends in practical archaeology here in British Columbia. In working with the First Nations, Klassen and Reimer came to realize that natives were intensely interested in their own heritage and that their way of thinking without the meaning of place and things is dramatically different from the legislative and legal framework that governs archaeology. Reimer, who is from the Squamish Nation, says spiritual places such as rock outcrops, caves and even the North Shore's distinctive Lyons Mountain peaks have meanings for the First Nations people but are not recognised as important because there are no bones nor arrowheads. This is a very timely article which is resonating around the world with Aboriginal people. First, it's their heritage. Second, archaeology should be a lot more than just trying to grab a few artefacts from beneath a bulldozer. And now, keeping up with where did the first Americans come from slot, new research confirms a fast-dying language in remote central Siberia shares a mother tongue with dozens of Native American languages spoken thousands of miles away. The findings may allow linguists to weigh in on just how the Americas were first settled. This is according to Edward Vajda, Director of Center of East Asian Studies at Western Washington University in Bellingham. Since at least 1923, researchers have suggested a connection exists between Asian and North American languages, but this is the first time a link has been demonstrated with established scientific standards. His research links the Old World language family of Yeniseik in central Siberia with the Nadin language of North America. The Yeniseik family includes the extinct languages of Yug, Kot, Asan, Aran, and Pompokol. Ket is the only Yeniseik language still spoken today. And less than 200 speakers remain. Most are over 50. So within a couple of generations, Ket will probably become extinct. The Nadin language includes languages spoken by a broad group of Athabascan tribes in the US and Canada, as well as Tlingit and Eyak people. The last Eyak speaker died in January this year. Neither modern Ket nor Nadin languages in North America represent the mother tongue, however. For example, some words in the Nadin family likely represent sounds of the mother tongue more closely than their Yeniseik cognates. Other words in the Yeniseik, however, are probably more archaic. What you're saying, keeping up with me here. Based on archaeological evidence of human migrations across the Bering land bridge, the language link may extend back at least 10,000 years. And if true, according to Vajda, this could be the oldest known demonstrated language link ever found. Corn has long been known as the primary food crop of prehistoric North and Central America. Now it appears it may have been an important part of the South American diet for much longer than previously thought, according to new research by University of Calgary archaeologists. A new technique for examining ancient cooking pots has produced the earliest directly dated examples of domesticated corn, or maize, being consumed on the South American continent. The discovery shows the spread of maize out of Mexico more than 9,000 years ago, and that it occurred much faster than previously believed, and provides evidence that corn was likely a vital food crop for villages in tropical Ecuador at least 5,000 years ago. It has long been thought that maize may have been used south of Panama at this time for ritual purposes, but the new study shows that it was being consumed as food. Using pottery fragments recovered from sites in Ecuador, charred remnants of prehistoric meals were recovered and found to contain starch granules from domesticated corn. Analysing starch from charred food residues is a new technique in archaeology and is exciting because it will stimulate research around the world when people realise that they can recover starch from cooking pots and use it to date and identify what people were eating for food. Listeners may remember that starch analysis was also used for a study published in Science last year that traced the domestication and spread of the chili pepper throughout South America, Central America and the Caribbean more than 6,000 years ago. Well, it just remains for me to say, if you haven't read it yet, better get yourself along to Past Horizons new and free online magazine dealing with volunteer archaeology around the world. You can find that at www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. I'll give you that again. That's www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. There's also many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities from the UK at Badger. That's www.bajr.org. You can even keep up with a community project I'm involved in just now at my blog. You just have to type in Badger blog and you'll be able to find yourself there from Google. And of course, more can be found at Stone Pages, an amazing resource, news.stonepages.com. Thanks so much for listening to us. We hope you return again next week.